Blog Talk Radio. Step back in time to the very beginning, before life as we know it existed. Stones have been on this earth since before the inception of man. They are keepers of ancient wisdom and messages. Tap into the profound wisdom of stones and let your journey begin at the Rock Girl Sacred Stone School. Let the Rock Girl take you back to those ancient days to learn firsthand the language and the secrets of stones. The Rock Girl will teach you how to develop your very own technique of communicating with them, allowing you to embark on your own path of self-discovery. Courses include Reiki, psychic development, chakra balancing and auric cleansing, hands-on healing, and more. Visit sacredstoneschool.com for classes and workshops taught exclusively by the Rock Girl of therockgirl.com. Step back in time to the very beginning, before life as we know it existed. Stones have been on this earth since before the inception of man. They are keepers of ancient wisdom and messages. Tap into the profound wisdom of stones and let your journey begin at the Rock Girl Sacred Stone School. Let the Rock Girl take you back to those ancient days to learn firsthand the language and the secrets of stones. The Rock Girl will teach you how to develop your very own technique of communicating with them, allowing you to embark on your own path of self-discovery. Courses include Reiki, psychic development, chakra balancing and auric cleansing, hands-on healing, and more. Visit sacredstoneschool.com for classes and workshops taught exclusively by the Rock Girl of therockgirl.com.
Inner Realm Magazine is the place to see and to be seen in the New York, New Jersey metro area. The premier guide to exploring all aspects of holistic health, it will keep your finger on the pulse of the latest and greatest metaphysical happenings. You can pick up a free copy of Inner Realm Magazine in any of the holistic or metaphysical stores in the New York, New Jersey area. And if you'd like to advertise in Inner Realm Magazine, just contact Cheryl Arcodia directly at www.innerrealmmagazine.com.
The Rock Girl Sacred Stone Show is an independent broadcast of proprietary and copyrighted content, produced and owned exclusively by the Rock Girl Enterprises. We encourage our listeners to freely share the information taught on this program. Please be sure to properly reference the content to the Rock Girl Sacred Stone Show to avoid copyright violations. Thank you for listening and enjoy the show.
And enjoy the show. Welcome, everyone, to the Rock Girl Sacred Stone Show. I have been on the run, traveling all over the countryside for the last month, and today is the first live show back. We have a very special guest. Her name is Sonia. We're going to ask her exactly how she likes her name pronounced today. She is an anger expert, and we're going to be bringing her on live in just a few minutes. We're going to find out who she is, what she does, and how to contact her, along with a list of hot topics about anger. Next show, I'm going to catch you up on all my latest happenings about the fall schedule and so on and so forth, but because we have this special guest today, we're going to jump right into the show and talk about anger. It is no longer a dirty little word, folks, okay? A lot of times you can take such negative energy. A lot of people associate anger with negativity. I personally don't. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But we're going to talk about how to take anger and turn it into something positive. And, you know, you all know me. I am a stickler for details. And so I thought that the best thing to do would to be bring on an anger expert and talk about these subjects. I'm going to be talking about stones that can kind of help us navigate through the process of turning negative energy into positive energy, especially when it comes to anger. But with that said, let's welcome Sonia to our show. Sonia, are you with us?
I am. Thank you so much, The Rock Girl. I am so honored to be on your show. It is Sonia, and I appreciate it very much that you brought me on.
Oh, you're welcome. So it's Sonia as opposed to Sonia.
It is.
Okay, great. So everybody out there, okay, you heard it here. Sonia, the anger expert. So I want you to actually talk a little bit louder, if you will. Don't be afraid. Blog Talk has some volume issues sometimes. And tell us, tell everybody about your yourself, your practice. I know you have a new website coming out, what services you offer. And I know we have a list of really great questions. We do have 45 minutes to an hour for the show. So we're going to hit all the high points and low points and cover everything today. So what would you like people to call you? What exactly do you do? What is this new website? And so on and so forth.
Awesome. So, again, I'm Sonia Brill. I'm the anger expert, as you said. I've got a new website coming out. It's called theangerexpert.com. And essentially, you know, just like you said, the work is primarily related to the issue of how to resolve anger. You know, everywhere we look in society, we've got people who are angry about something or dissatisfied about something or conflicted about something, and they can't seem to make peace or release, like you said, that energy in some way that makes them feel in alignment with themselves. So part of the work that I do is to really help people get in alignment with who they are, what they feel, what they experience, and how they want to take this journey. So that's really the goal of it. What will the site offer? The site will offer a ton of multimedia products, including e-learning and audio download, so that people can really be able to get the information that they need so that they can become their own anger expert. That is my intention and that is my vision.
Ah, excellent. Most excellent. And so what do you do? Do you do one-on-one sessions? Do you do group sessions? Like, how do you actually help people connect? And what makes you the expert?
I think any one of us can be the expert. So I think technically, I think people define the expert as someone who has specific knowledge about a particular area of training that they have. So that's what makes me an expert. It's not just the training that I have, but certainly people in the community, whether it is media, whether it's other professionals, whether it's other clients, who coined me the anger expert, because we can move from the space of being angry when they work with me to being in a space in which they're in alignment with themselves. And so that requires a certain level of expertise to move from point A to point B in a short period of time. So that's what coins the name, the anger expert.
Okay, great. Now let's talk about, what did you say?
And so the other question you had is, how do I work with people? Primarily, I work with people intensively, one-on-one, in which they have the opportunity to talk with me and resolve this very prominent energy and force that we all have within us. And for them to experience it, not so much as a bad experience or a bad feeling, but more as something that we all experience. That no one is void of this feeling. No one can say that they've never had anger. We've all experienced anger.
Yeah, and you know, I personally, you know, a lot of people are like, I do obviously psychic readings and healing work and energy work, and a lot of people are like, oh, I have so much anger, and they treat it like a dirty word. But I tell people, you know, if we're happy, then there's always the other side of sadness. You know, if we're joyful, you know, there's the other side of grief. You know, and we run the gamut of emotions, and we're human. And, you know, if we drink something, we pee. If we eat something, we poo. It's a natural thing. And I don't want people out there feeling like they have to kind of cover up their anger. If someone gets their feelings hurt, or if they're lied to, or if they're betrayed, anger is really a natural emotion. And so, you know, I'm glad that we connected, because I want these people out there to realize that anger is not a dirty word. And it's not to be covered up or hidden, because that only goes inward, and it could cause disease, you know, feeling, you know, not feeling good about yourself, anything that's buried, you know, underneath pounds and pounds and pounds of other stuff, it's not going to fare well. And so the best thing to do is to get it out of your system and in a healthy way. I have gone through 5 years of a breakup of a marriage and divorce, and I was, you know, I've been on the other end of I've felt the betrayal and I've been lied to, and I was angry. And so I had a choice of what am I going to do with this anger, and I actually turned it into what I like to call rocket fuel, and I channeled the energy into my website. Instead of staying up all night long, you know, fretting, I you know, wrote pages and pages of my website. I went and I exercised, and I used it to channel creativity. And so, you know, a lot of times we can take the fumes and the byproducts and turn them into something positive. And so, you know, being the anger expert, I know we have a list of questions here to kind of help people identify what is normal and what's not. So what what is normal anger? We all have it, right?
We all have it, and it's exactly what you said. You know, when something quote unquote bad happens in our world, in which we go through a divorce, we go through a breakup, you know, it's natural to feel hurt. It's natural to feel fear. It's natural to feel anger. And oftentimes, like you said, we live in a society in which everywhere we turn, we might see anger being displayed in a way that is so egregious, or it feels so bad to see someone so out of control that it reminds us, could we get so out of control? Could we be so out of control that we would never have our senses back? So we get afraid of this feeling, when the truth is we all experience it. And anger is completely, like you said, is a natural emotion. In fact, it signals us that something is wrong. Something feels bad, and it's got to get fixed. And when we ignore that feeling, it becomes louder. The sound of the alarm, the anger, gets louder and louder until we do react, until we do respond in a way that we don't like. Meanwhile, what you said is awesome, which is you took it and it became rocket fuel for you. You channeled it in a way that created a whole new way for people to connect and feel healing and experience relief. So we have that option all of the time.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And you know, I just, you know, hopefully what people will walk away from the show with is, you know, a better sense of it's okay for me to be angry. Now what can I do about it? And so, you know, let's go through this list of questions that you have here. They're all, you know, a lot of times we don't even like to acknowledge our anger, let alone examine it. And so I thought the questions that you came up with were excellent. Number one, why are people so angry?
Yeah, that's the question we get, like, all of the time, right? Why are people so angry? They're angry that they're in traffic while in traffic. They're angry that they didn't watch their favorite TV show. They're angry that they didn't get their favorite meal. Whatever the reasons are, we get angry. Part of the answer to that question is we live in an intense and fast-paced world, which often demands us to make changes very quickly to the stressors that we feel inside ourselves based on what is occurring in the outside world. And the challenge with that is that our nature, the way we are made up, wants to often find balance and experience harmony. And when we can't find that fine balance, our system kind of goes into a shock. And that old mind, the old brain, the part of the lower base, which we've got hardwired to react, reacts profoundly. And so people feel angry. So part of it is that we're generally hardwired, genuinely hardwired, to react to a threat. And that threat would be the intense stressors that we feel in the environment. And when we cannot get what we want, we react. That is, in a nutshell, here's part of the reason why people are so angry.
Wow. Yeah, that's an excellent explanation. And it leads to your second point here. What makes people react so badly when they are angry? So now that we talked about what makes people so angry, why do they react so badly?
Well, it's part of what you were saying before, which is when something bad happens to us, you know, we experience this powerful energy of anger that, well, you know, starts to rise from the gut inside of us that we may or may not be attuned to. You know, and when that energy becomes really intolerable inside our body, it demands for discharge. So it kind of goes like this. So the anger rises, and that creates an urge. And the urge leads us for an action. And that action is often a discharge from the body. So it's got to get expressed out. So whether that is verbal, whether that's physical, whether that is self-reflection, whether that's work, whether that's drinking, we can run the gamut. But that is, anger is one of those emotions which, it just boils up inside, and it's got to come out.
Absolutely. So later on we'll talk about, you know, the options of how to channel it, because I think that's really important. But I want to talk about your third question. How do I stop anger from ruining my relationship?
You know, I get that question all of the time. Like, my anger is ruining my relationship. How can I make it stop ruining my relationship? I can't stop the argument. I can't stop the fighting. He's wrong. She's wrong. There's really one key answer, and that key answer is awareness of the self. In order for us to stop anger from damaging any relationship, we have to make a shift from "this is about you and you did this to me" to "I am angry because I have an experience of anger or emotion rising because there's something you've said or done that's hurt me." Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely. And so when somebody reaches that awareness, that consciousness, basically, what can they do? What are the options? How do you release that urge in a positive way?
I mean, part of it is recognizing, right, that there is the urge that's coming up. The emotion is rising. That's part of it. The other piece is oftentimes we're hardwired to move from the internal to the external, looking at the external environment and saying, if you did this differently, if you said this differently, I wouldn't feel so bad. When the truth is, the answer is really inside. I feel so bad because I can't seem to figure out how to make sense of this universe out here that's not meeting my needs in a particular way. And so the large piece is, how do I own how I feel? How do I own myself? How do I be okay with this feeling that's arising in me? Because when we are okay with the feeling arising, that feeling almost always dissipates. And feelings always dissipate anyway, but they do dissipate.
Yeah, it's almost like letting the top, you know, when you shake a bottle of soda up and then undoing the top.
Totally.
So it's letting it off gently, I suppose. Now,
I think that's a tough one, though, for folks, isn't it? I mean, I think that's true across the board, where we rather look to the outside than to look inside and say, you know, this anger is about me. It's about how I feel about what's happening, more than what they're doing to me or saying to me. Although those things can feel offensive, it can feel hurtful, it can feel bad. There's no doubt. But ultimately...
Yes, absolutely. And you know, from my own personal experience, you know, I was betrayed. I had a husband who not only I found cheating on me, but then the betrayal was worse because then I'm like, I found out that, oh my God, he has been cheating on me throughout my 10-year marriage. So it was like, boom, boom. And then on the way out of the marriage, he was less than nice either. So then I had that as well. And there, I was grinding my teeth. I couldn't sleep. You know, I started riding my bike like a maniac, which was great because it got the physical anger out. But I had all these thoughts. And then I thought, okay, like, I need to take this urge, this huge, overwhelming energy, and do something positive with it. And so that's when I said, well, okay, every time this urge swelled up in me, when I, you know, figured out another piece of the puzzle, and then the anger turned into hurt, which turned into pain, and I said, oh my goodness. So let me take this energy and reprocess it and point it in a positive direction. And I said, I'm just going to create a brand new life. And honestly, if I had to do this over again, I couldn't have come as far as I am today if I didn't have the anger, because it fueled me.
Sure.
You know? So yeah. I actually, I thank my anger every day. Thank you, anger. And I think the beginning is not to be ashamed of it. Yes, I am angry.
No.
because I feel this way. And it's acknowledging and it's validating and then also empowering to be able to take that and create something positive out of it. So, you know, the next question here is, how do I know I have an anger problem?
Well, I mean, I think if someone is asking the question, do I have an anger problem, it's likely that they've thought about this, that they've that the anger has been problematic in their life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the key signs that anger has become a problem is that you feel you are in the right and you feel self-righteous about being in the right.
Hmm, interesting.
Yeah, yeah. And that, you know, there's that sense that someone has violated something about you. And that is a predominant undercurrent when I see folks, that they feel I have been violated. I have been wronged. I have been treated poorly. Those are key factors. So if we get beyond that, you know, we can look at much more of the traditional type of psychotherapeutic checkpoints in which you would say, you know, anger has become a problem when it's wrecking your relationships, when it's wrecking your health, when you cannot calm down, when you're screaming at the top of your lungs, when you're about to lose your professional license. It's a big problem. So
absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah,
so, and you know, it's interesting. I mean, I think a lot of people are aware of the fact that anger affects relationships and it can affect jobs, but Lord, it can really affect your health. That's when I get them. I get them on the Reiki table. I get them on the chakra balancing table. And a lot of it, you know, is because the anger has been turned inward. So, you know, I'm glad you said that because anger does affect people's health and they don't realize it. I mean, high blood pressure and heart problems are,
sure,
are perfect examples.
Absolutely.
So the next question is, how do I control my anger?
You know, it gets back to the issue of self-awareness again. I basically tell my clients, you know, begin to understand your emotions. It's kind of like what you were saying. When you were betrayed, you understood that you were feeling betrayed. And that was the predominant feeling, which converted into other feelings, including anger. And part of anger, interestingly enough, and I'll answer this question, part of anger oftentimes is that you've lost something. You're grieving over something, and it could be a vision. It could be an idea. It could be a marriage. It could be a relationship. It could be yourself. Maybe you've lost yourself in regards to what you wanted, and you've given yourself up to staying at home, for instance, and raising the kids. Or maybe you've lost yourself as a result of being at work all of the time. That can create anger as well. So you're asking the question, how do I get control of my anger? Really, it's to listen to your emotions. See, are you working with your emotions or are you working against your emotions? How's that feeling?
Yeah, I like that. And another word that you used before was release. You know, a lot of times people struggle with the word control. How do I control this? And again, it's stuffing it down.
Right.
And when earlier in the show when you mentioned the word how do you release it, I think just that change of that one word, you know, can really help. And the blog talk lady is saying that we only have 90 seconds in the show left, but that's not true. I'm going to snap my magic fingers, and this show is going on for another 30 minutes. So, folks, don't go away. We're continuing this. We're not going to take a break. We're just going to go right on through until the top of the hour. So you're going to hear that click one more time, but we'll gently ignore her before she makes me angry. So
you get angry now.
Yes, I'm releasing my anger on the blog talk lady. So, you know, getting back to that word release, I love the R words. Clearly, Rock Girl begins with an R, but Reiki, release work, remembering, reconnection, all of the rejuvenate, all of reevaluate, all of the words that begin with R, I love them because they give you another chance. Really, they do. And so, you know, I like to kind of connect the word release my anger in there instead of, for me in particular, control. Because controlling things, you know, I work a lot with Mother Earth and the elements. And have you ever tried to control a tornado? I mean, let's face it, when I found out that my husband was cheating on me, I felt like a tornado. You know? And so instead of controlling my tornado, I was like, how do I release my tornado? And so I actually went for a bike ride, calmed down, and then thought, okay, let's think this through, Allison. What are the best steps, you know, of managing this situation, of thinking out of this box? And so, you know, if you kind of change your perspective a little bit and say, how can I release this? Not only can you, it's more of a letting go instead of a stuffing in or holding on to the reins. It also allows you to move it out of your body on the physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual planes. So I do like the R word there, Sonia. So thank you.
Awesome. Yeah.
Ah, I see. Number six. Why do my buttons get pushed and I react? Another R word, react.
There you
so,
go.
Yes. Why do the buttons get pushed and why do I react?
Well, kind of going back to what you said, you want to move from that reaction to the releasing, right? That's that's what you're releasing. So I kind of think of buttons like live landmines. And I think if people can kind of conceptualize their buttons as a landmine and that landmine is active still, then they know that there's something about within themselves they're going to need to either do or be in order to deactivate that landmine so that it doesn't get activated if someone comes along and trips on it or pushes on it or steps on it. So,
right.
You know, there are people who will step on your landmine if you let them. So part of it is, again, getting back in sync with yourself and knowing how to turn this thing off so that the button does not get pushed.
That's a really good point. And so how do you help your clients with you know, their buttons and deactivating them, so to speak?
I think part of the work is really understanding the cues and the triggers that set people off internally. That's very important. They, again, look externally. We can look at the external circumstance and say, this really upset me. This really pissed me off. This really got me angry. But the truth is, if you really look inside, there is something that sets you off. So what are those triggers that set you off? That's the first step in deactivating those buttons. The other piece is looking at, like you have been talking about, to some degree, is how do I move from point A to point B? Maybe it's getting on that bicycle. And maybe that bicycle will help you shift your thinking and your feelings long enough to come up with another outcome. And again, I'm giving some really quick tips, and I would say it's a little bit more complicated than that. But part of it is getting in touch with the empathetic, compassionate side of you, in regards to the self. How do I be more empathetic and compassionate with myself as I experience this betrayal, as I experience this loss of this marriage? What do I need to do so that my buttons of rejection and hurt and pain and loss of love get triggered all over the place?
That's an excellent point. And after we're done going through these questions, I'm going to talk about some stones and how to do this. So I have some people on the Facebook and Blog Talk messaging about all of this stuff. How do you do it? And we're going to talk about that in a minute. Now, going on to question number seven, how do I calm down when I get insulted by my partner? That's a huge question I think a lot of us have, because usually we don't sit around just being angry. Again, we're triggered a lot of times by people around us, and one of the main people being a partner.
Completely. You know, it's almost always it's someone that is really close to you that knows your trigger points, and whether they do it intentionally or unintentionally, they have the quote-unquote the most power to touch those particular buttons more so than anyone else can. And part of it is because there is a level of intimacy that is tied to that particular person that brings up very complicated feelings. So how do I calm down when I get insulted by my partner? First of all, it's really impossible to calm down in that particular moment. So as ironic as that sounds, I would ask people to almost embrace it. Embrace the feeling of feeling insulted. Embrace the feeling that's arising within themselves.
Okay, now we have someone who's messaging us. How do you embrace it? Can you give us an example of how do you embrace it?
The way I embrace it is I start taking very deep breaths.
Mm-hmm.
I stay with the breath, and I reflect on the emotion of feeling insulted. And as I stay with that particular emotion, that emotion almost always then converts into pain or hurt or sadness. And as I stay with those feelings, that either triggers a memory inside of my mind about when else have I been hurt, insulted, in pain, whatever the negative emotion is. And then I'm able to experience that feeling. And usually within 5 to 10 minutes, that feeling is converted. I think what that gives me personally is a sense that I can transform my feeling from going from being insulted to stabilizing it, to neutralizing it, which is almost always what we're seeking. We want out of the pain. And the truth is we can't always be out of the pain instantly. We need to take a few steps to work with that. So that's how I personally do it.
Yeah, I like the neutralizing word a lot. You know, a lot of times you can't automatically flip a switch and turn it off, or you can't turn it automatically into something positive. But what you can do is neutralize it. It's kind of like, you know, taking the fire extinguisher and at least, you know, blowing it out.
Right.
And so I like the word neutralizing because, again, it's not a snuffing out. It's almost like taking action to kind of, it's really kind of spiritual alchemy where you take the anger and you change its form. And so I like how you said the word neutralize. Now, just to give another example, I had, you know, after this conversation that we're having today on air, I'm thinking, you know, back for the longest time, I didn't, you know, anger was bad, anger is bad, anger is bad, blah, 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 blah. And so then I started to just kind of automatically dismiss it when it would come into, you know, my feelings. And as a child, I lost my father very young. I was 15. And everybody would, you know, my mother sent me to therapist after therapist, and they're like, you must be so angry for that loss. And I just you know, covered my ears and went la, 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 la about the anger word because I didn't even know what it felt like anymore because so many people were saying that. And so as I grew up into my later teens and early 20s, I was like, I don't even know what it's like to be angry anymore because I stuffed it down and it got confused and mixed up, mushed up with my grief, my sadness, all of it. And so it was all tangled. And so how I taught myself to recognize the anger again was when somebody said something to hurt my feelings, I would answer, ouch, that hurt. You know, somebody said something about my haircut or something I wore or insulted me. Ow, that hurt. And they looked at me, you know, and it was almost like they stepped on my foot and I was like, ow, that hurt. And so I would say that I would recognize that with the feeling, and then I would bring it out, and they'd say, well, what are you talking about? And I would say, well, that really hurt my feelings, and now I'm angry. And then they would run. No, I'm just kidding. and I would say, yeah, I'm angry that you did that. Because for me, anger started being a way of erecting boundaries. And so, you know, I would say that makes me angry. And then they'd say, well, some people who stuck around would say, do you want to talk about it? And I'd be like, yeah. And so me personally, I had stuffed it down so much that I had to really break it down into little bites. And then eventually I got to the breathing and the neutralizing part. But for me, I guess I started stuffing it down at such a young age that I didn't know how to make that leap. And now when I get angry, I have to do something physically. You know, you're a breather and you're a thinker and you're very intellectual. And for people out there that connect to that, this is a great way of doing it. I suppose being a rock girl, I'm a bit more of a Neanderthal when it comes to that. And I don't go directly to intellectualizing it because it hurts so bad for me that I have to either take a walk around the block. I do the breathing, but it's more like snorting, like that. Okay, I'm not a pretty crier, and I'm not a pretty snorter. Okay, it's literally, you know, the cartoons where the bull had the red smoke coming out of their nose and their ears. That's me. But if I go into action and I walk around the block or I ride my bike, that's a good way of me to enter the, I'm going to neutralize this energy. So there are many ways for people to do it. And, you know, these, I'm addressing the woman who just asked this question on Facebook. I guess the best thing to do would be try different ways of kind of neutralizing and releasing this. And so then after I blow off some steam by riding my bike or walking around the block, then I come back and I intellectualize. And I'm like, wow, that really hurt. Why did it hurt? Let mm-hmm. me take a look at this. So, again, I'm not nearly as evolved when it comes to but that's why I have my cave to retreat to. But there's just some examples. Now, here's another one.
So let me go back to this one real quick. I mean, I think we are all, you know, a lot of us are taught to not feel angry, right, when we're growing up. Like, anger is bad, like you said, it's a dirty word, so you're supposed to stuff this darn thing down. So when you really start to experience it, it could come out, like, in a big way, like in a snorting kind of way or in a stomping kind of way, because we never got to experience it. So we may just throw that tantrum big and loud when we are 30, you know, or 40 or 50 or 60 or whatever it is. So I think that's an excellent point that you're saying. I don't think it's about evolution. It's more about, you know, the way we grew up and what is okay, what is not okay, and why I move away from management, anger management, to resolution, to neutralization, to releasing, is because we all have the capacity, the power inside of us to find a way that works for us.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that you just addressed question 9, which is anger bad? So do you have more to add to that? Because a lot of people are saying, oh, okay, now they can take a look at it. So,
sure. I mean, I think we have answered the question. I think you've done that beautifully. As I'm adding to it, you know, anger is a natural emotion. And if we did not have anger, there is no way we would know what doesn't feel right, doesn't feel good. It gives us the opportunity to fix which doesn't feel right. It gives us the opportunity to shift the currency within our bodies.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's interesting because, you know, being a Reiki master and working in the field of energy, you know, I do go to energy practitioners myself, you know, to be worked on. And I have one of the people I'm working with, I went to one of his lectures, and he said, you know, we're talking about pain in the body, and that a lot of times modern medicine is like, here, just take this and you won't feel the pain. It doesn't mean that the pain is going away. The pain is there to signal that there's something that's not working in your body. If you have neck pain, then something's happening and you need to correct it, not numb it. And anger is really, you know, obviously pain, but it's obviously there as well to signal, like you said at the beginning of the show, something is happening that's not working for us and how can we change it? So instead of considering anger as something being bad, take it as a warning signal saying, hey, you need to take a closer look at this and see how that can change. Again, if you're in a relationship where you're always angry, chances are something's not working. So you want to take a look at that and, you know, do I need to change? Do they need to change? Is this relationship just not, you know, is it two reactionary people hitting each other's buttons all the time?
Mm-hmm.
So I like to kind of look at anger as a warning signal of something that needs to be have a closer look at. So I did like how you kind of addressed that at the beginning of the show as well. Now let's take a look at 8. How do we stop the cycle of arguments? That's a good one. And you know what? I don't have an answer for that. So Sonia, what are your resolutions? There's another R word. I like that.
There is another R word. You know, I think a large part why people can't stop the argument is because it becomes part of their communication style. It's the way they start to communicate. It's the way they start to express themselves. It's the way they resolve their old issues between each other. It's kind of the mirror that comes up from each person that's placed upon them in which they need to look within the self. So that's part one. The other part is that anger, it's important to understand that anger can also become addictive, in that we get this kind of kick, this rise, this urge, like we talked about before. And it is a way in a relationship that people get the attention. They experience the passion. Otherwise, the relationship they would think and feel is, quote unquote, dead. This is a way that they experience excitement. And that in and of itself creates sort of an addictive type of communication style. So in order to stop the cycle of argument, one would need to break the cycle of anger.
That's an excellent point. An excellent point.
Right.
Wow. So I want everybody out there who's listening to raise their hand. Okay? I can see you. Remember. Raise their hand if you connect with that, because that's an excellent point. You know, why do people argue? Because of that. And, you know, now that I'm kind of scrolling back through my lifetime, I've met a lot of people like that, where they have that sense of connection only through arguing. So, people can get addicted to that sense of passion and that urge that people get. And so I guess the next thing is, you know, question number 10, how do I know when to get help?
Well, that's a great question. I get that all the time. And again, it comes back to, how do I have an anger problem? If you're asking the question, how do I know when to get help? More than likely, there are things that have come up inside that say, I need to consider getting help. The two key emotions that come up are shame and fear. If you are experiencing shame and fear as a result of what anger is doing, then it's time to get help, mainly because there is a different way you can feel. And it can be a powerful way to be versus being in the anger cycle. So the way I usually work with clients is really to help them avoid this feeling of intrinsic shame that they feel within themselves. So what I say to clients, if you're asking the question, do I need to get help? How do I need to get help? If you are in arguments that seem addictive and can't stop the cycle, it's time to get help. If your anger is getting released and discharged on the road, you're road raging, it's time to get help. If you are not able to move the argument forward and find a resolution, it's definitely time to get help.
Wow. All very, very good points. All very good points. And, you know, it's interesting about, you said, when people are feeling shame and fear. Now, the shame thing, you know, I understand. Like, oh, my gosh, I was out in public and I spouted off at the mouth. I'm ashamed of that. But I can understand that. I've actually seen lots of people do it, and I've actually gone and gotten on my bicycle before I've done something like that, because you can't take that back. And a lot of times when people see people do that, they misunderstand that there's a flip side of a very good person there. But let's talk about the fear. How does that work?
Fear is generally, and I would say, you know, most professionals would say, who are work within the realm of anger, would say fear and anger are similar emotions. What I've seen in my office and what I know from working with folks in this particular field now for 10 years is that fear is always tied to anger. When we become afraid of something and we cannot experience that fear, it converts into anger. Because we're not able to tolerate the sense of vulnerability for too long before it converts into what feels like a much more powerful emotion, anger. And that gets expressed. And then fear gets sublimated or pushed down until, of course, one has to reach for some of these feelings, because then anger becomes intolerable. And so that feeling rises. And when that rises, we can access the fear. And almost always, client will say, I was afraid of getting too close to my partner because she was attacking me. Every time she attacked me, I pulled back, and it was causing me to be really afraid more than angry. I was afraid of her. I was afraid of him. Mm. That's usually what's stated. I was afraid that they would leave me. I was afraid that I didn't have the capacity to be in this relationship. I just got off a consultation in which a client just said to me before I got on the phone with you, was that I didn't have the capacity to be in the marriage And so I filed for a divorce. What I didn't know was I was afraid that I did not have what it took to sustain the marriage. And so I got angry.
Wow, that's interesting. Yeah, it's amazing once you recognize, you know, one emotion, how the other ones come out of the box. And what did you say?
I said, so that is my answer in regards to, you know, how do I know when to get help? Certainly there are clear signs when you need to get help, as I indicated. I think if you're feeling really bad about how you are being and you regret what you're saying or doing, it's time to get help.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Now, speaking of help, do you do phone consultations? Can you know, where are you located? If someone who's listening to this show feels like they want to get help, can they contact you? And how does that whole thing work?
I absolutely do phone consultations. Most people do. They travel quite extensively, and it winds up being either a Skype or phone appointment, so they can absolutely reach me by telephone. And I am located in Denver, Colorado. And I don't know if you have my phone number, Allison, or would you like me to give that?
Oh, I have it, but you give it out, you know, and let people know that they can call you. So
they can absolutely call me, or they can get on my website, which is www.angerexchange.com, which will soon become theangerexpert.com. But they can absolutely reach me by telephone at 720-971-1254.
All right, that's great. That's excellent. Because we're getting a lot of positive feedback here through the chat room, Facebook, so on and so forth. We don't have anyone who feels comfortable enough calling in, which is fine. You can call Sonia directly. but, you know, one thing that I always like to roll into these shows are stones that can help you with that particular topic. And as anyone who knows me and how I work with the frequencies of stones. The vibrational frequencies in a stone actually can connect to the vibrational frequencies within our energetic being, mainly through the chakra systems. And stones work like magnets. Magnets are actually a type of stones, and they connect with energies and they help align them. Just like Sonia was talking about earlier about being aligned. Now, before we go into the stones, let's just talk about the A word, aligned. So how would you describe that in the same sentence as anger?
Are you asking?
Yes, yes.
Okay, so in the same sentence as anger, how can you get aligned? So when we experience anger, as we've been talking, we are not in alignment because something has to be fixed is what we've been discussing, that anger is an alarm. So if we use all the A words, anger is an alarm, which indicates that we are not in alignment. And
oh,
so it
I like that.
Us, yes.
Yeah,
which signals us, of course, which signals us that we do need to get into alignment with our emotions.
Okay, that's an excellent description. Thank you. And you know, listen, we're not always going to be anger-free all the time. It's kind of a emotions. If you study the metaphysics, are very connected to water, and water is always fluid. So as long as you keep them moving through you, I think that you should be okay. It's when they stagnate, literally, when water stagnates, it's time for dis-ease and uneasiness to actually transform, there's that spiritual alchemy again, into disease. And it literally can ruin your relationships. It can ruin your health. It can ruin your career and all of the above. And so let's just touch on some stones. We have about 8 minutes left before the end of the show. You know, there's some really key points, Sonia, that you brought up. And first of all, you were talking about having the compassion and empathy within yourself to recognize this. Can you elaborate on that kind of compassion topic a little bit more, and then I'll talk about the stone for that?
Sure. So we generally, when we feel anger, we move externally, as we've been discussing. So what that does is it basically disconnects us from ourselves and our own emotions, except for that particular energy of anger. When we begin to go inside, if we can go inside, which is what I do, is to help people go inside in a safe way, they're able to feel that safety of the compassion and the empathy for the self, which is where essentially we feel a sense of love. And if we can access more of those qualities and properties of love, such as empathy, compassion, understanding, kindness, etc., those kinds of feelings, the chances and the experience of anger subsides a great deal when negative things happen in our lives.
Excellent, excellent. I couldn't have said it better myself. So, folks, what she said, okay, that's the first step in dealing and recognizing with your anger is that compassion. And there is no better stone for that than good old rose quartz. Rose quartz is a lovely, compassionate, empathetic stone that really promotes that self-love and that healing. And so I'm going to give a little prescription of stones here before we close. And for the first step, I would strongly recommend good old rose quartz in the rough form. The polished form is great, but the rough form, you can connect to that a lot faster. The next stone, when you're moving towards neutralizing, to recognizing and neutralizing that powerful urge, a really great stone to work with would be the smoky quartz. Smoky quartz draws impurities out of the auric field, which includes on the physical plane, the emotional plane, the mental plane, and the spiritual plane. And it draws the impurities, any densities that are no longer needed and for your highest good or for your health in the physical plane as well, and it draws them out, anchors them, and composts them into the earth chakra, and they begin to neutralize. So first you have the rose quartz for the empathy and the compassion and self-love. Then you have the smoky quartz for neutralizing anything that you no longer need, whether it's anger or grief or sorrow or fear. It goes right down the earth chakra and let the stones do the work. The next stone, okay, would be the green calcite. Now, remember, we wanted to neutralize the auric field first. Okay, you wanted to soften it with the rose quartz. You wanted to neutralize what was kind of floating around in there. And when you get to the real core of the anger and or fear or anything else, you want to use the green calcite because, number one, it helps release more of the locked-in, stored-in energy, okay? And also, it's a very soothing stone, and so it's like a balm, not B-O-M-B, a balm, B-A-L-M. It gently soothes that irritated and hurt area. And anything that is just something that goes against the grain, anything that doesn't make you feel good. And you don't have to complicate it by figuring out what it is. If it doesn't feel good, it doesn't feel good. And really what you want to do is release that from your energy field and soothe that area. So that's the green calcite. And then finally, let's put some positive energy in there. Orange calcite is an excellent stone. It's a great stone for positive change, positive energy, returning to health and vitality, any of that. And so once you release all this stuff that you no longer need, which is making you feel yuck, yuck, you want to replace it with something positive. And a lot of times you don't even have to know what it is. The stone itself, by being a positive, happy orange stone, naturally attracts positive energy. And, you know, if anybody wants to know more details about how to work with stones, you can just scroll through the archives of the Rock Girl Sacred Stone Show or take some of my classes and workshop, and we get into all of those details. But really, you know, you just want to start out with the rose quartz, you know, follow it up with the smoky quartz for kind of composting and neutralizing that energy, green calcite for releasing the buried anger and unrest, and then follow it up with something positive, which is the orange calcite. And right there you have four very affordable and very available stones that you can get in any rock shop around. Or, of course, you can come to the Rock Room New York or the Rock Room South, and you can choose them yourself. And so, you know, it's a very simple 1, 2, 3, 4 punch. I know I usually work with 3 stones or 5 stones, but in this case, this is a nice little secret recipe to help you out. And, you know, let me throw that last stone in there. I'm going to put the 5 just for the cherry on the cake, so to speak. Let's bring some amber in there, A-M-B-E-R. That's always a healing stone. And where there is anger, there was once irritation. And once that releases, you know, who couldn't help? Who couldn't use a little help in the healing department? So we'll add the 5th spoke to the wheel, so to speak, and add the amber in there. So I hope that helps all of the crystal junkies out there with their little rock recipe. And Sonia, I wanted to thank you so very, very much for coming on the show and sharing your wisdom with us today. It's been a very enlightening and informative radio show today.
Well, thank you very much for having me. I feel very honored to be on your show.
You're very welcome. And so what we're going to do, folks, is we're going to close out the show because the Blog Talk Lady is really, really going to kick us off. and she may have some of her anger issues herself. So we've gone to the top of the hour. Again, if any of these topics today, questions, resonate with you, please don't feel shy and give Sonia a call at 720-971-1254, or you can check out her website, www.angerexchange.com. And the new one, the new website is going to be what, Sonia?
www.theangerexpert.com.
Theangerexpert.com. Okay. Well, folks, thank you so much. And if you're listening in archives, thank you for tuning in. Give Sonia a call or reach out to her through her website. And also remember, folks, be good to your stones, and your stones will be good to you.
Step back in time to the very beginning, before life as we know it existed. Stones have been on this earth since before the inception of man. They are keepers of ancient wisdom and messages. Tap into the profound wisdom of stones and let your journey begin at the Rock Girl Sacred Stone School. Let the Rock Girl take you back to those ancient days to learn firsthand the language and the secrets of stones. The Rock Girl will teach you how to develop your very own technique of communicating with them, allowing you to embark on your own path of self-discovery. Courses include Reiki, psychic development, chakra balancing and auric cleansing, hands-on healing, and more. Visit sacredstoneschool.com for classes and workshops taught exclusively by the Rock Girl of therockgirl.com.